A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yindinji Country. That's BBM Bumba Rip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Youth Radio Service. You can have your Sabre call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your say in yarn up strong with the ball you run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. All ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. On that 33 Creative R, 33 Creative, are working with Cancer Council on their National Bowel Cancer Campaign for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, which launched Monday, 11 July. This campaign aims to raise awareness of the importance of bowel screening and increase participation in the National Bowel Cancer Screening Program. The Australian Government program provides people aged 50 to 74 years with free bowel cancer screening test every 2 years. We're going to catch up a yarn now with dearly brother, Dr. Joel Winnetong, general practitioner, and talk about this campaign. Online, Dr. Joel, good morning.
Hey, bro, how you going?
I'm deadly, my brother. How are you? Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, please, Dr. Joel.
So, my mob's Gubby Gubby or Gubbindingi from southeast Queensland, but I'm living in Newcastle now.
Okay, Newcastle. Cold down there, my bro.
Right now, we're doing some fishing on Nelson Bay, so the sun's out and it's not flooding anymore.
Yes.
That's a bonus.
Yeah, exactly, my brother. Well, it's still cold for this little Murray from North Queensland, but look, too deadly, my brother. Good yarning with you. Look, a very important conversation and a National Bowel Cancer Campaign launch. So tell us about this launch and how important it is for our people to be involved and up on this information, brother.
Yeah, brother. So bowel screening is a campaign to start off to prevent really bowel cancer. Bowel screening is not necessarily looking for bowel cancer, but some of the symptoms that we look for in the bowel screening is part of trying to prevent bowel cancer. We Aboriginal people have the lowest rate in screening, we've got a lower rate of bowel cancer in our communities, but the rate of people dying from bowel cancer is much higher.
Yeah.
In Aboriginal communities and not.
We need to bring those numbers down, don't we, Dr. Joel?
Exactly, bro. And one of those ways is to try and increase our screening. So the screening test is when you turn 50 years old, over 50 years old, you might get a bowel kit from the government. Or you can, if you haven't got one, you go see your AMS there and the health worker or your GP will give you a kit to take.
Okay.
It's really simple and easy. All you gotta do is you put some toilet paper in the bowl, on the water in the toilet bowl there. If you got a dunny, then it's gonna be rough for you, but anyway. you do your gunner on it. You get out two or three little canisters and you open up the canister, there's a little stick on the end.
Yes.
And you dip that into your gunner.
Yep.
Like four or five times, then you put it back in a canister, you put your date and time that you did it and your name on it. And then you put it in a little Ziploc bag, and then you wait a day, then you do the other one. And if it's a three-kit one, then you wait another day, then you do the third one. Then you just put it in the mail, send it back to where it came from, and back to the government. Yeah,
yeah.
Mob sending shit to the government.
Sending shit in mail. Yeah, thank you. Get back at them. Knock off. Yeah, stick that in your pipe and smoke it. But simple concept, and that's what you do, and that's the process, isn't it? Simple as.
Yeah, that's it. Simple as that. You do it every 2 years when you turn 50.
Yep.
Up until around 75. But look, if you've got a family history of bowel cancer, which means that if your granddad or your grandma or your uncle, auntie, your mum and dad had bowel cancer when in their 40s or younger than that, then you should get screened sooner than that.
Okay. Now, with the process, when we're talking about our mob dealing with First Nation health organisations, they can pick up the kit from there, is that right?
Yep, that's correct, yes.
Yeah.
All GPs, Aboriginal Medical Services, all of them have kits available.
All right. So when a person goes in and does a yearly checkup, is that part of the checkup?
Yeah, over 50s it is.
Okay.
On the Aboriginal, the 715 health check, it's part of that. But it's every 2 years, so sometimes it's really hard to remember.
Yeah, true.
Oh, did I do it last year or the year before? But, it's better have it done more than more than not enough. That's for sure.
So what is it, 2-3 times a year, you were saying?
No, yeah, every 2 years.
Every 2 years, thank you, okay.
Every 2 years, yeah.
But
every
three testing.
But it's 2 or 3 tests. The one that comes from the government usually got 2 tests in it, and then the one you get from AMS and that sometimes got 3.
Okay.
People get a bit confused, but it doesn't matter, you know. As long as you do at least 2 of them, it's all good.
At least 2 of them, okay. And like you said, and send that guna back to the government.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that, my brother, which shows I need to do my testing as a 56-year-old man, but yeah, my brother.
Yeah,
that in itself should motivate people to go and do it, send the guna there back to the government.
I know. Send the guna to the government, man. That's mad.
Too deadly, brother.
It's all about trying to prevent, you know, bowel cancer.
Exactly.
And look, most of the time it's not bowel cancer that's causing the bleeding. And that's what the test is looking for. It's looking for microscopic blood.
Okay.
And you can't see it, but it's there.
Mm.
And only, you know, it doesn't necessarily pick up bowel cancers, but it picks up polyps before they turn to bowel cancers.
Sure.
About 90% of pre-cancers it picks up. So.
And brother, that's male and females. Hey, Dr. Joel.
That's male and female, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly right. Mm. And males, black fellas, males are more likely to die from bowel cancer than females.
Yeah.
As well, because we're, you know, it's that West Lack.
I mean. Yes, we're muscly. We don't need to do it. Exactly, brother. So when you go to toilet, if you see blood there where you're gonna, then need to get checked. Is that a sign? Is that symptom? Is it?
Yeah. So if you see blood in the toilet, you need to see your doctor straight away.
Yep.
They might do the test, but they might just say, "Oh, look, you might not need the screening. You might need to just get a colonoscopy or a scope."
Yep.
That's where they put a camera up your bin. And then they look for polyps or cancers that way.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you get a positive test. You usually, most states have like a 3-month waiting list, so if one of those tests comes up positive, you should get a scope or a camera up the bin there within 3 months, and that way they can check for polyps or cancers. Most of the time it's polyps, and they can be gotten rid of straight away in that one procedure with the scope.
Yep.
And then they just get you back 1 or 2 yearly after that. So,
and if you're diagnosed with bowel cancer, what's the road ahead, so to speak? Where do you sit?
Yeah, look, it's a lot better if you get it sooner. So I've had patients where they've had just one of those tests that comes back positive. He went in, got a scope done, and they found a big bowel cancer. They cut it out, and they put back the bowel together, and then he was out 2 days later in hospital with no cancer at all.
Beautiful. All right. So prevention.
Keep an eye on it. Saved his life, that's right. Because when you get symptoms, like when you start feeling things going wrong, it's usually too late, and we want to try and get it before it gets to that point.
Mm. Too deadly. Well, brother, thank you for the information. Now, proud Gubby Gubby man, you still jam? You're on the mic and doing things, brother? Or you're full on practice?
Course,
yeah,
of course.
Bro,
you know,
paint that picture. What's happening in that space?
I'm about to finish building the studio, so we're starting to work on another track on the farm. Yeah, it's been like 3 years trying to build something like a space where I can make music and get mob up there and just, you know, make mad music and record. So,
well,
so,
yeah, brother,
soon, bro.
Yeah, no, too deadly, brother. But it just shows that we can chase goals and dreams. And a few goals and dreams. So here you are, qualified doctor, but also it's got your music, which keeps a nice balance and different to your profession, so to speak. So it just inspires our mob that we can be and do whatever we want to do, my brother?
That's right. We're blackfellas. We come from the line of the deadliest fellas in the world, man. We can do absolutely anything, bro.
Yeah, good,
anything,
brother.
You know, and that's you know, our old people taught us that, you know. They could, you know, my nan was one of the first Aboriginal health workers, and and she was, you know, helping mob before we even allowed in hospitals.
That's,
you know,
true.
You can do that.
Yes.
Man, I've got no excuse, bro.
You can jam on the side while being a doctor.
Hell yeah.
Pole dance on Thursday night.
Proper.
You're too deadly, my brother.
Hey, only for you.
You shut up, knuckle. Hey, good yarn with you, Dr. Joel. Thank you for beautiful information. National Bowel Cancer Campaign launch. It's up and running. Mob, get tested, and let's look after ourselves. And you take care, Dr. Joel.
You too, deadly, bro. All right.
One love. See you, bro. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See ya.
Beautiful yarn. Dr. Joel Winnetong, and he's a general practitioner, proud Gubby Gubby man, and talking about National Bowel Cancer Campaign, which is launched for our SMOB. You're going to do your yearly checkup, but also do that test. And like you said, I love how you phrase it. You do put your toilet paper in the bowl on top of the water, and you just get samples of your guna and send it back to the government. Sending the shit to the government. Tudele, have you say Yarn Armstrong, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry.
I had a bad week, spent the evening pretending it wasn't that deep. You could see in my eyes that it was taking over. I guess I was just blind and caught up in the moment. You know you take all of my stress right down, help me get it off my chest and out into the ether with the rest of this mess that just keeps us depressed. We forget that we're here right now, cause we're living life at a different pace, stuck in a constant race. Keep the pressure on, you're bound to break. Something's got to change. We should just be cancelling all our plans and not give a damn if we're missing out on what the people think is right. Seeing through a picture behind a screen and forget to be. Lose the conversation for the message that you'll never read. I think maybe you and me, oh, we should head out to the place where the music plays, and then we'll go all night, just stepping with a woman I love. All my troubles standing up, and when I'm in your eyes, electrified. We'll keep turning up and go all night. We had dips and falls in our time, but we know what it means to be low then up, alone then love. And all we need is us to go all night, night. Just up and with a woman I love, night, yeah. All we need is us.
We can stay up to the sunrise. Just you and me, don't have to be shy, baby. Don't be shy, baby. It's a time like this, baby. Free my mind, put the kiss, I'm in bliss. Yeah, this is heaven, baby. And I don't wanna miss what we have right now. So tell me, would you stay up?
Stay
late night talking till we make trust. Baby, tell me, would you be the one? Be my one.
Be the one.
We'll go all night. Two stepping with the woman I love. Trouble's turning up, and when I'm in your eyes, electrified. We'll keep turning up and go all night. Yeah, we had dips and falls in our time, but we know what it is to be in love, alone in love. And all we need is us to go all night, night. Just stepping with the woman,
just stepping with
the night. Yeah, all we need is us to go all night,
night.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Now, leading First Nations people unite to bring up respect with young people. Shelley Ware and Scott Prince come together to help and help end violence against women, encouraging their mob to continue rich conversation on respect. And with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Shelley Ware, TV presenter and commentator on the line. Shelley, good morning, sis. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
So I'm a proud young Kanjara Wirangal woman. I'm from South Australia, Adelaide, Sojourner Way. And I now live on the lands of the people of the Kulin Nation, raising my boy here with his community of beautiful elders and mob, making him strong.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. And making him strong there, the word I'm thinking of is respect, and that's how we bring up our young ones. And you're leading First Nations people to unite to bring up respect with young people. And your team player there, Scotty Prince, you've got a good team player there. So tell us about this movement, my sister.
So this is the fourth phase of the Stop It at the Start campaign, and they brought Scott Prince and myself on board, and we're sharing our stories about how we're encouraging adults to reflect on their attitudes and have conversations about respect with young people. So, you know, our mob respect is a huge part of our culture, and it's just about having those conversations about, you know, trying to end family and domestic violence within our community.
Yeah, exactly. And when you look at it, that's the foundation of life when we're talking about our kids and we as parents and having those conversations, because it's not in our culture in regard to domestic violence, is it, you know? And so we need to bring it back to the cultural way of living life, sister.
That's right, you know, and it is about breaking, you know, these cycles that we've got ourselves yes. into. It's not nowhere near in our culture. You know, we're all about respect, respecting our elders, respecting our next generation, and you know, respecting country, and it's who we are fundamentally as people. So, you know, we got to call out that disrespect, be role models, and you know, show respectful behaviours, and have these real conversations, you know, real yarns about respect with our kids, so that you know we can break this cycle that we've. So not all of us, you know, some people have found themselves in, and you know, make it strong for our next generation.
Well, exactly, you know, and the how we say the words we choose. Our expression,
yes.
of course, the physical side of things, yeah, as well as the emotional side of things, you know. We need to think before we speak, think before we act. And our young ones are watching how we act.
They're always, always watching, you know. Like, it's the smallest, tiniest little things, like when people say, oh, he's only doing that because he likes you. You know, we've got to stop saying those things. Oh, he's only behaving like that because he's having a bad day. That there are no excuses for
exactly.
poor behaviour. So, you know, we've got to stop making our young women think that that's okay because he's having a bad day.
Mm.
You know, so if you see someone not doing the right thing, you know, call them out, have a conversation, you know, because the truth of the matter is that sometimes people are unwell and they need to get well, and you know, if somebody points that out to them, we can help them heal.
Well, exactly. And look, and coming from a man's point of view, you know, the true warrior of the 21st century is not putting your hand on your woman. You know what I mean? It's not right, and we need to act, like I said, it's not in our culture, and we need to be a true warrior of the 21st century, my sister.
Absolutely, we do, and we can do it too, you know, and helping our next generation and making that pledge to bring up respect, have those conversations with our young people. It's what's going to make the difference and, you know, make people reflect on their own behaviour.
Exactly. So how are you and Scotty doing the First Nations campaign, high-profile First Nation campaign? And supporting this, leading First Nations people to unite to bring up respect with young people. How are you using and driving this vehicle?
So we're relying a lot on social media and amazing people like yourself getting us talking out on radio and television and newspaper print. But we've both done a video that you can check out on respect.gov.au, and it's all over our socials as well. I did a video with my young fella, Taj, about... You know, where I have those conversations with him about respect. He loves surfing, so it can be on the way, you know, to where we're going. He'll be talking to me in the car, and you know, it's about those moments that you seize. So my video is about that, and Scott's is about him as a coach and how he talks to young people when he's coaching, and how he also sees the moments. You know, doesn't let things pass. He'll stop training and say, "Hey, that's not how we talk about women, or that's not right. Like, let's sit down and, you know, break this down." So get on respect.gov.au and watch the videos. Mm. There are so many conversation starters, tools, resources. There's so much there to help you if you don't know where to start.
Exactly. And those videos for young ones to watch and take on that information as they get older, but also for the parents who are at that stage need to think, well, I better check myself before I wreck myself, so to speak, you know, just watching those videos and just make us think twice, and anybody at any moment can start a new future.
That's right, any moment. Mm. You know, every day is a fresh day, and, you know, you change your mindset, change your ways, you know. It's always a new fresh start, a new beginning.
Good, my sister. Before I let you go, Shelley, so what other things are you doing? Are you still TV presenting and commentating?
Oh, COVID got rid of all of that, you know. But still do a lot of podcasts and newspaper print and the odd TV appearance here and there. I had the fun, you know, pleasure of doing the NAIDOC Awards this year and hosting that with Stephen Oliver. That was a bit of fun. But,
Did you get a word in, sister?
Yeah, I try. Oh, there were moments, but it was good fun. He made me laugh, he made everyone laugh, it was good.
Yes, like crack. But listen, my sister, thank you for the yarn. All the best to you. Big shout-out to Scotty Prince. Fantastic what you guys are doing. Bring up respect with young people. Very important, my sister.
Thank you, and thanks for the time.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Ta-da. Too deadly. Beautiful yarn there. Shelley Ware, TV presenter and commentator, and working closely with Scotty Prince and their ambassadors, leading First Nations people unite to help and to end violence towards women. So fantastic, beautiful program. And as I said, we commentated there in regards to 21st century. We warriors, this is not our way. And if you're going to be a true warrior, then step up to the plate, you know, love and respect to women and children. And think before you speak, act, and It's very, so very important, and the young ones are watching you. Have you seen Yanup Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black.
This is paradise right before my eyes. My people have stories to tell about the land and sea. It's where I long to be. So take me home. Oh, P.I. my beautiful home. 40 tribes of Bogum.
I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional trust, beautiful country of ours. Welcome back. Yanup Strong, New Mop, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. I'm going to jump straight into it. We're talking devastating culture and financial impact. First Nations communities in crisis after UPLA collapse. And we're talking about the ACBF, UPLA, and that's the Aboriginal Community Benefit Fund, has collapsed. And a lot of people who have vested in that in regard to their funerals and what have you. And the company collapsed, has left their people in a bad state. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Mark Holden, Solicitor Financial Rights Legal Centre. On the line, Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, it's very devastating, as the title stated, in regards to ACBF UPLA collapsing. So where are people at regarding the money that they've invested for their funerals?
Yeah, so we've been getting some more data here as to how big of a problem this is now. So the liquidators, SP Partners, had provided us with some information about how many people have been affected by this.
Mm.
So first of all, there's a couple of very scary things we're seeing here. So first of all, we're seeing a minimum of 20,000 people who've been affected by this.
Yeah.
Also, as well, it's not just in one area or a couple of areas. It's all across Australia. And also, as well, that thirdly is that most of the areas we've identified, the government has identified those areas of being low socioeconomic disadvantage.
Mm.
So a lot of these people were living in very poor conditions, and they were just being targeted by ACBF UPLA people.
And just to confirm, Mark, ACBF UPLA, was that a First Nation organisation?
No. So when these people were going out to sign people up until about late 2018, they were not Aboriginal owned. They were pretending to be Aboriginal owned, and a lot of people fell for that, thinking that, oh well, I got myself someone I can trust here.
Yes. Hence my question. So in actual fact, they were a non-Indigenous company.
That's right. The other scary thing we're seeing here as well too is that it kind of matches up with what our clients are telling us as well too, whereby they don't just go to one place and go to the next place. They also come back to the same place again and again,
yeah.
Not just to be able to sign up new people, but to be able to go back to those old people and say if they have any kids then, and then sign up those kids as well too.
Yeah. Exactly. Regarding people's getting their monies back?
So we're trying to hope here that the federal government's going to be able to try and provide some compensation here. We do know that this is on the top of the list for the Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, Bunny.
Yes.
Also, as well too, we know that the Treasury has paid attention to this as well too. So it's not at the back of their mind as well too, but it is absolutely crucial that this matter does not go away as well too, because right now we've got people still in the morgues.
Mm.
We've got elders calling us, telling us that they're so worried about passing away right now as well.
Yes.
Too, because they haven't got much time left as well too, and they can't afford their own funerals as well too. So we have to be able to try and get that compensation there as well too.
Well, we're talking about a scam here, if you look at it, and the scam itself can put pressure on our elders, which could push them towards the grave.
Well, that's what we argued there in the past as well too. We argued that ACBF, when they had signed these people up, they were signing them up under misrepresentations.
Yes.
They were signing them up under unconscionable conduct, and they were taking advantage. Over that misrepresentation to be able to make a profit for themselves.
And what's in place in regarding police in this situation? That other companies in actual fact, all industries. That people can do this, stating the fact that they're Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander run.
Well, that's the one thing that really gets me angry here as well.
Yes.
Too, because these communities are special. These communities are have our elders. These communities have people who are trying to be able to keep contact with their community and country, and they're always being targeted. There's always like one scam after the next as well too.
Yes.
And it's absolutely important that we actually have more commitment here to be able to try and enforce the consumer laws against those who want to be able to take advantage of those communities.
Exactly.
That being said, though, what's important first and foremost is compensation for those lost out here, because that's a more of an immediate problem. I agree that, but also as well too here, a lot of people who we've been speaking to as well too are saying that they do want these people who did the wrong thing to be held accountable.
Exactly. Exactly. And when you look at businesses interacting with First Nation people, we as black people are all for black people being in business. So if they're in partnership with a non-Indigenous person, it's got to be 50-50 ownership, if not 51-49, black man, person leading towards a black person.
It's got to be First Nations led. It's got to be First Nations controlled. It has, and then it can be supported by non-First Nations. But as well, though, when it comes to our communities, it's us who are going to be the ones who can be affected by that, and it's us who has to be able to have that say on that.
Mm. So, where are we at, and how far are we looking down the track in regarding people getting refunds?
Well, we're pushing for refunds first and foremost. That's definitely what we're trying to be able to push here. Mm. But also as well too, we're hoping in the next few months or so that the government might be able to have something announced here. But as well though, we really need to be able to have that announcement like months before. Mm. So we need to be able to have that. We need to be able to have that right now.
Well, exactly. And then we're talking about elders who have invested in here, this space. How long have they got, and how long is a piece of string in regarding the money coming back? You know,
that's right. That's right. That's something that's been torturing us as well for the past few months as well too, because these elders here are so worried about not having to burden their family with these costs here as well too, because if they're going to burden their family with the costs here after being so responsible for so many decades, it's going to create a bit of a intergenerational financial impact in these communities.
Exactly.
And so that's why it's absolutely really important here for the government to be able to step in here to be able to try and help out. This is their chance here. This is a chance to be able to try and help.
Well, exactly. And our mothers, fathers, our grandmothers, grandfathers, with that thought in mind, is why they invested into this concept, so there's no financial strain on our family. But here
that's
lies
exactly
the financial
right.
strain for generations to come if it's not fixed.
That's exactly right. They've been paying diligently for so many decades.
Yes.
So a lot of them actually were paying through their Centrelink benefits as well too. That's a good portion of their Centrelink benefits just to be able to try to protect their family from that burden.
Mark, watching this very closely. Thank you very much for sharing. Look, all the best to your firm and everything you're doing. And big love and thoughts are going out to families in this situation.
Thanks for that, Trevor.
Thank you, Mark. Take care, mate.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. There it is. That's Mark Holden, our Solicitor Financial Rights Legal Centre, and talking about the members of the Save Sorry Business Coalition who have been working to help those affected by the ACBF UPLA collapse. And ACBF is the Aboriginal Community Benefit Fund. And people have invested into that, especially elders, in regard to their funeral. And now it's a financial strain in regard to the collapse and lost all that money and put strain on the family in regard to putting them to rest. Very sad situation. Have you seen Yanup Strong here on National Talk Black?
So this is how it is. Broken hearts and a memory, can't seem to remember when that open door was closed again. All the years that she tried, all the words that were unspoken come flooding through her mind. Couldn't fix what they had broken. Close the curtain, close the door. He won't hurt you anymore. Cry, angel, through the night. Cry, angel, it'll be alright. Cry, a dream. Cry, angel, let your heart bleed. nights. You were thinking how it could have been. We're better spent trying to get up again. Wipe away the tears and walk on through, 'cause he can't see the pain that he put you through. Close the curtains, close the door. A dream. Cry, angel, let your heart bleed. Cry.
Yeah, beautiful track there. That's Cry Angel, James Scott, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 19.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. We've got Salwan on the line. Good morning, Salwan. How are you?
Good, brother. Yeah, brother. Yes, brother, I want to acknowledge that Noongar lady, brother, last week, she called in, and I'd like to say to her, if it'll be good for her, is a prayer. I prayed for her, brother. I took her yarn. I love that, brother. And yes. Anyway, brother, you know, basically I bought what was called hoofter bashing, brother.
Mm.
And I'm going to touch on my take on Manly, what's happening at Manly.
Sure.
And I tell you what, brother.
Mm.
Them fellows that used to go, and a lot of them gay guys used to get killed with that cliffy down in Sydney, brother. Like I was going to say the F word.
Mm.
A lot of them got killed there. And all the fellows into the after that, I bet you they wouldn't have liked to have met. I want to say the F word again. Ian Robertson at Dark Alley, eh, brother.
Big boy, exactly. Yeah, he fought for his rights.
Ian Gary Jackett, eh, brother.
Yeah, exactly.
He said him to retirement. Now, I don't know what he said on the field. But it's tough with him. But anyway, brother, I think that the only thing I have with that is there should have been a consultancy, but I want to talk about, I feel like using the F word again, the hypocrisy, brother. You know, the place is an assumption that the Polynesian plays like Israel Folau, what they said about, you know, that gays and all them kind of thing.
Mm.
But, you know, should respect their culture and their belief, brother.
Yes.
And it started as Christianity isn't the Polynesian belief. And why I'm saying that, I'm going to sort of talk about this, what happened in Wakajunka, something over in WA, and this Tongan preacher, brother, she's a Sheila, in 2015, it was an ABC 7:30, and the black fellow's there, brother, she got him burning a sacred, or a sacred object on a big fire, and stopped him from believing, this was all evil, brother, it was all, no good. And I think she's Pentecostal, and they had the belief that in the 70s, they said they could bring people back to life. And this is 2015. This is before Duncan Gorge, brother. And I want to sort of ask on the show that where was this white commentator, this white hypocrisy that didn't respect Blackwell's belief over there with this Pentecostal Polynesian Sheila going over there? And having them don't believe in not to respect this sacred objects and don't believe in this. And I can tell you, brother, like I said, there's another hypocrisy. I bet you that white, sorry, the Tongan preacher, you can download that ABC 7:30 report. I bet you that Tongan Sheila, she won't go back to Tonga and do what she's done with those black fellows that destroyed them to respect their culture, their sacred stuff and all that. And not just Tonga, but Polynesia in the Pacific, and even the Polynesian on the mainland. He won't do that to them. And there was no voices about Pat Robson on there, but he speaks up for them, for his mob too, over in the West. And even though they say, to you know, the commentators, they respect the man who plays Polynesian belief or culture, white Christianity isn't Polynesian or Blackwellers, but like Polynesia, Blackwellers here, we had a sacred belief and a sacred object, and that happened in 2015. And you put that up against what happened to Duke and Gorge, and where is all that feeling there for you to get that commentary and that honorable commentary about respecting people's belief? But here they are, they're sort of making it legalizing to be discriminatory towards the gang followers, right? And, you know, brother, when I think back to all those people that, you know, so follow the news and I know about following the news, all that stuff about post production. In our mob, brother, it's not an issue with that, people. The boy, that's not an issue. But white fellas, they didn't muck about and look at them. Gay fellas that got killed down there. They're intelligent fellas too, brother. I'll finish now, brother. I said all them fellas that done poofed or bashing or even killed, I bet you they wouldn't like to meet Ian Roberts in a dark alley. I'm glad Ian Roberts to come out too, because it would have destroyed a lot of people. Stereotype about gay dwellers, but they weak, you know. But like I said, brother, that Ian Roberts is a tough fellow, and I respect him that he's for what he stands up for, even though they might never consulted with all the plays, brother. Thank you very much, my brother.
Yeah, thank you for your input. Thank you very much, Selwyn. Having his say in regarding the situation. And regarding sports and Manly situation and pride for their jersey and recognising QLTBGIA situation, yeah, and the people in that, and Ian Roberts coming forward as the first man to admit his gayness in NRL, and his fight for that belief, and several other players who got their belief and decided to step down for the game this week against Roosters. But there is, have you say, add to the that conversation you like here on National Talk Black. 10 minutes left on the program. Daily number here is 1-800-422-416.
I took a look in the mirror this morning, standing there before me stood a fool. Once again, my drinking, it has shamed me.
that hurt I put you through. Oh, I wish I could shrivel up and die as I ask myself, what have I done? I guess I'll have to go and apologize for once again being a clown and having fun. I don't mean to drink the loving out of you, though it seems that's all that I can do. I can see it in your eyes, you're about to say goodbye. Loving, I don't mean to drink the loving out of you. Give up my wicked way and attend your every wish and need. I know I've said it all once before, but this time I mean it. Wait and see. I sit back and watch our children play, and I realize how far we have come. To think I nearly threw it all away when I nearly drank that love.
Yeah, Daily Track there. I don't mean to drink. That's Ron Naden here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Jan Armstrong, 1-800-422-416. Jan with the ball on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns in your Jindy country. That's BBM, Bumbra Bip Media, 19.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. We've got Henry on the line. Good morning, Henry. How are you?
Yeah. Couple of eager for you, my brother.
Yeah, good, brother. Yeah, oh, brother Henry, how are you? Good to hear your voice.
All in working progress at my end, my brother. Yeah, just to contribute towards that topic.
Yes.
The topic we're discussing this morning, my brother, nationally across this country.
Beautiful.
Yeah, just in the context of my call this morning, my brother.
Mm.
I just want to contribute towards the discussion.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I've lived by three principles over the years, my brother.
Mm, go ahead.
Let God do the judging, let Holy Spirit do the convicting of sin, and let believers do the loving.
Yeah.
And in the context of this subject here, brother, if believers in the religious community right across this country and globally speaking,
yes,
if they do the loving, don't worry about doing the judging.
Yes.
Or convicting of sin.
Yes.
In terms of, I believe when it comes to practicing the principle of respect and trust right across all ethnic groups, brother.
What you're saying is, my brother, all in God's hands.
Yeah, my brother, I know that there's a whole saying, as you know, if you don't believe in anything, you'll fall for anything.
True.
But in the context of the power structures of our time, yeah, brother, it's a very touchy subject.
Yes.
And for our listeners, Indigenous and non-Indigenous families and families from all different backgrounds, all different ethnic groups. Yeah, brother, just do the loving.
You
won't go wrong.
Yeah, beautiful advice.
It's easy. I know that it's easier said than done.
Sure.
When it comes to, for example, religious structures of our time. I just want to put it out there for all the Christians that identify themselves as believers.
Sure.
I honestly believe believers are the greatest threat to the gospel, my brother.
Yes.
The reason why I say that, I'll take everyone and all our listeners down history. It's not non-believers hanged Jesus on the cross. It was religious structures of his day. Food for thought. Just for everyone
thought.
Listening in.
Food for thought.
And I believe taking the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world, four corners of our earth, I believe religious structures will be the biggest threat for the religious group that represents different faith.
Yep.
And from different worldviews, my brother, I just want to sign off on that.
Cool.
Let God do the judging.
Yes.
Let Holy Spirit do the convicting of sin. And let believers do the loving.
Beautiful.
Thank you, my brother.
Good advice. Thank you very much for sharing. Thank you for your input. Beautiful yarn there. That's Henry there calling and speaking about the topic that we were talking about earlier in regard to the NRL and the Manly situation and the pride for this weekend. But let's also not forget about talking about NRL. Let's not forget about Women in League. And that was the weekend coming up. It's put a dampen on that. Let's focus on also on our beautiful women out there that support all our deadly men and women in league, either on the field or in administration or in the as supporters, either way. But there it is, conversations and having here on your daily program, National Tall Black, which has come to the time where Trendy Trev got a sign off for today. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. But thank you for your company, Mob. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and we'll be yarning soon. Too deadly.
When I get